Father, as we open thy word, as we've gathered here at this electronic place, we do pray that you'd be with us and watch over us and guide our thoughts and our minds toward thee. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I'd like if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We've been going through Corinthians, and starting with chapter 7, Paul is talking about the letters that he is answering to the Corinthians. He is responding to the Corinthians that have written to him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote me," he's responding to a letter and going through the items one by one. And now in chapter 8, he's going on to the next subject. And I'd like to read all of chapter 8. "Now as touching things offered unto idols," this is a new subject that he has, "we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." I'd like to stop there. So as we look at this chapter, at the very beginning, it's very clear. Paul is answering the Corinthians' questions. This question, "Now is touching things offered to idols." Back in the day, there would be not just sacrifices. The Israelites, we know, of course, had sacrifices, but this was a common practice among many of the ancient religions. And there would be a sacrifice brought to the temple or to the place of worship, and they would offer it unto their god, and then part of it would go to the local priests there. And not all of the priests, the priests would not eat all of it. And what would you do with the extra? They would sell it at the market. They'd exchange that offering for money. And so this food that had been sacrificed to idols that the priest of that particular god would have access to and then take to the market and exchange it for money, that was available to be bought on the open market. And there is a question on whether it would be something that we should partake of because it was food offered to idols or not, because the Christians back then, just as now, they commingled with everybody. As we go through life, you don't just associate with Christians only. And so there was this question that was brought up. And Paul's going to answer that question. And in chapter 10, actually, he condemns it. But here, he makes it plain that there is no such thing as an idol. It's not real. people might think it's real, but there is just one God and one creator of the universe. There is just Jesus Christ. And that is all. So therefore, the offering that's there to these other gods with a little g is not really an offering to anything that is real or true. And so therefore, how can that offering be to anything? And so the knowledge of this was causing people to say, I'm free. I'm free to eat whatever I want. But yet there were some that were really disturbed by this. And there was contention in the Corinthian church. So, going on. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. So let's talk about that word, puffeth up. So Paul is here contrasting and comparing knowledge to charity, or what we know as the word love in the English language. Knowledge and love. Kind of an odd thing, I think. He's going to be addressing things offered unto idols, but right away he gets into this idea of knowledge and love. And this knowledge, when it says puffeth up, indeed, that Greek word, it means to inflate like in a balloon or a bubble, to puff up and to make proud. Charity, love, is different. It's that self-sacrificing, it's that agape love. And even though we've been reading through Corinthians, and we're going to get to Corinthians 13, which talks about this in detail, I do want to read it now. 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse just 4 and 5, I think. Charity suffereth long, or is patient. Charity is kind. It does not envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity is not puffed up, the opposite of knowledge. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not looking out for herself, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. So we need to have that firmly in our mind, because Paul wanted it firmly in the Corinthian mind, that charity never failed. It says that charity edifieth. And edifying is a building up. An edifice is a building. And when you think of a building that is constructed from the ground up, charity, you know, layer by stone upon stone, layer upon layer, you build up the building, and that's what charity does. And so Paul is making it clear that this question about eating things sacrificed unto idols has nothing to do with eating things sacrificed unto idols. It has nothing to do with that knowledge, but it has everything to do with love. And so let's see where he goes with this. Verse 2, if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as yet he ought to know. And I think we've understand that, and we've seen that in our lives. We see people in life that are proud, that are arrogant, that know a lot. But really, they don't really understand. They don't have the wisdom to apply it. It goes on to say, the verse 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. So there's the only knowledge that is important here in this chapter, to be known of God. And how do you become known of God? Is to love God. And as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are sacrificed, offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other one but God. For though there be that are called gods with a little g, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many or lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. We all know that, but not everybody knew that. Not anybody had that understanding. And as we go down through the passage, Howbeit that there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worst. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block. So he's very plainly stating that the idol, this meat sacrifice to idol, what has gone on with that meat ahead of time, it's really nothing. But some people think. It might not be true, but this is what they think. And you would think that we just need to teach them better. You would think that Paul says, take these people apart, take them aside, give them an education. Train them the right way so that they understand that this meat sacrificed unto an idol is really nothing. And then everything's going to be okay. But he doesn't go there. He says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them. You know, right here in verse 9 is called a liberty. By the time we get to verse 12, it's called a sin. But when ye so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So a lot of times in our lives, we're thinking about liberty. But really, depending on what's going on around it, put it in context, it could be sin. If there was going to be a title to this message, it's Things Made of Matter Don't Matter. When I was young, I don't know how old I was. I'm thinking I might have been 6 or 7 years old. I had a pocket knife. My grandfather had given me just a little old, straight old timer, I think it was. And as little boys do, what do you do with the pocket knife, right? You throw it. That's what you do with the pocket knife. And I would throw it, and I would throw it, and I would stick it in trees, and it would break. But this was my pocket knife. And I remember I was walking up the street towards home. I don't know where I was coming from. And as I think about it now, I'm thinking I was 7 years, 6, 7 years old, and I was just walking up the street. And I was throwing it, and I threw it into the grass, and it disappeared. It went, well, I thought it just went under the grass, so I just went to get it, right? You know, I've been throwing this for days, right? As little boys do there. And I'm looking through the grass, and I'm looking through the grass, and I can't find it. And I remember my anxiety going up. Where is it? How can it be gone? I was right here. I only threw it 4 feet in front of me, and it was gone. It was gone. And I was so upset that this thing made of matter mattered so much to me. Gone forever. I have no idea where it went. Right? Meat sacrificed to idols. It's made of matter. But things made of matter don't matter. Right now in your life, in my life, is there something that is so important to you? Something, some physical object, some or thing, you know, I'm going to go play a sport or I'm going to go for a hike. You're going to go do some physical thing, some touchable thing. Is there something made of matter that you do or love or like a lot that you wouldn't give up for someone you love? Another thing that I had when I was a child was a BB gun that my father had given me. I was maybe 10 years old because we were in the house in Burbank. And I remember we didn't have the internet back then, of course. And you give a 10-year-old boy a BB gun. And I was just in the backyard, and my world was, I'm guessing, 15 feet wide and 30 feet long. That was the part of the backyard that I had to myself. And I must have shot thousands upon thousands upon thousands of BBs into the fence, shooting at rocks. Any insect that came in was fair game. And you do that enough, you're splitting flies in two. Any wasp that came in, it's not in the air, but once they landed, they were in trouble. And so I grew up having that BB gun. And then as I grew older, of course, the novelty wears off, but there's a sentimental memory in that. And so it stayed with me as I moved out on my own. And then as I got married, it was in the closet somewhere. And I remember there was a time where I had pulled it out. I don't know if one of the kids was getting older. Maybe Daniel was getting older. Maybe I was going to show him. But Lori, she was upset. And she was upset because to her, that was a gun. And she was raised with the thought that, you know, you don't take guns. Guns are meant for killing. And in my mind, it's like, no, this is a BB gun. I mean, maybe I kill ants. Maybe I kill flies. It's not for killing people. I had this knowledge, but in her mind, you know, her father had to flee because he was going to prison for not taking the gun. We have brothers that have spent many years in prison for not taking a gun to shoot people. And this was an upsetting thing to her. And so I put it back in the attic. But once in a while it came out, and there was just, she was upset. And I don't know for how many months or maybe years, because it wasn't out all the time, and it wasn't like I was doing anything with it. But finally, as it was a garage sale day, and I was looking around for things to just get rid of out of the garage, I saw that air rifle, that BB gun, and I thought, you know, this is not so important that I need to keep it. Yes, there was a sentimental tie. Yes, it was a gift from my father. Yes. But the truth of the matter is that things made of matter don't matter. And for $5, it was gone. So many times when we come across personal relationships that are strained because of physical things, right? Things, thoughts, understandings that we have that are different. There is this bitterness that starts to build. And it's a bitterness that God doesn't want to be there, especially between brothers and sisters. And even though when you think of this chapter that we just read, how unreasonable these people were. We know that this food was sacrificed to an idol that doesn't exist, and that really because that idol doesn't exist, that the idol, this physical thing that's made of a tree exists, but there's no realness to it, right? There is no God that idol represents. It's a vapor. It's an illusion. Don't we know that? Why are you making an issue of this? And so many times in our lives, we do the exact same thing. And a lot of times we'd like to say, oh no, but our thing is different. It's different for me. You don't understand. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Paul wasn't worried about that. He says, but take heed lest by any man's this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Let's talk about that. But when ye so sin against the brethren, ye wound their weak conscience and ye sin against Christ. That's verse 12. I want to take you to Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, this is the account of Paul. At this time, his name is Saul, and it says in Acts 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So here's Saul. He is a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he's getting letters to go, letters, and he desired of them letters to Damascus to go to the synagogue and to find any person that was in this way, it says, and that was a Christian, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He was persecuting the church, breathing threatenings and slaughterings. Threatenings and slaughter. Sorry. And while he was traveling to Damascus, verse 4, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is Christ talking to Paul. When did Paul persecute Christ? He didn't persecute Christ. He was persecuting the brethren, but Christ took it personally. And Christ said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or those convictions that he was having. You know, as a father, when you look at your children, when you don't want them to get hurt, you don't want them to anything bad to go with them, and if indeed something or some harm would threaten them, you're there. Back in 2015, we went up to Alaska to visit Cousin Michelle. And during that time or a little time after, there were moose just walking out in the front yard, right? Walking down the street. It's amazing how wild it still is there. And a university professor was killed on campus because when he walked out of the building door, he came in between a mother moose and her calf, right? And the mother moose did not take that lightly. And here, as we read in 1 Corinthians, but when ye so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Where did sin come into the picture? Weren't we just talking about a liberty? But I think this is the point that Paul is driving right now, is that the thing might be a liberty, but once it becomes an issue between you and your spouse, between you and your family, between you and your physical brother or your physical sister or your coworker, it's beyond a liberty. Paul ends up saying, Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And then, of course, we'll go into the debate. Well, what does it mean to offend? Am I really offending? Stop it. It's not that important. This is what Paul's saying. Stop it. He doesn't give any license. He makes it very plain. Yes, indeed, there are other verses where Paul, other passages where Paul indeed has to talk to Peter because Peter is not behaving properly. And there are these other passages that you can say, well, I'm gonna make that fit my situation so I don't have to stop it. But we're looking at it wrong. Paul is very plain here in the chapter that the focus of touching things offered to idols has nothing to do with the things offered to idols, but it has to do with the heart. It has to do with our relationship with others. We talked about, is there something in our life that we would not give up for something you love, someone you love? You know, when I was, when I had that BB gun, right? For some reason, I don't know why, but in my father's top dresser drawer were half a dozen bullets. Now, of course, a BB gun does not shoot bullets. Tacitly, I guess. But you know, as a little kid, 11 years old or so, I took the littlest one. It was different types of bullets. I don't know why he had them there. I took the littlest one. And I went out in the backyard, and somehow my 11-year-old mind figured that if you stuck it in the dirt, that bullet part wasn't going to go dangerous anywhere, and that, you know, if anything moved, it was going to be the shell that flew off the back. And I got 10, 15 feet back and built myself up a little, you know, whatever you would think to protect yourself at that age. And I shot the primer, right? I tell you this, I never did find a bullet or the shell, I don't think. I tell you that because somehow my mom found out. And there must have been some contention about those bullets in the top drawer. You know, my father didn't have a gun. There wasn't a gun in the house. Because those bullets disappeared. They went away. For whatever reason, they were important enough to my father that he kept them in there. He might have had some memories or whatever reason that those were there. But there was obviously some contention. And this incident sparked a resolution of the contention. But do you have to have incidents to resolve contentions? We shouldn't have to have incidents. We should be sensitive. And even though we could probably pretty easily say that, yeah, you know, for my wife, I'd give up anything. For my son, my daughter, I'd give up anything. What about for your neighbor? A friend? Your brother or your sister? Would you give up things? Would you give up matter that doesn't matter? As it was with Paul on that road to Damascus, Christ took it personally. When Paul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against his church, Christ took it personally. And here again in chapter 8, where it says, "But brethren, when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ." It's serious. It's no longer a liberty. It's no longer just something I want to do and I should be free to do it. If it's come to the attention of someone, you got to work it out. And if it doesn't work out the way you want it, it needs to work out the way God wants it. May the Lord bless his word.